Let's pray. Holy Triune God, sender of the Spirit, fall upon us, O Spirit, that our hearts might be lifted up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The radio crackles with AM static. My father snowpacks feather the clutch. A slightly bitter smell curls out of the heater vents. I chew on my neckerchief as I look out the cracked pickup window at the white feeding ground. Yellow bits of hay poke out through the fresh snow. We turn a corner. We amble up the side of a hill. The blue pickup bounces over a frozen cow pie. The Winchester rifle in the rack behind my head jostles with the movement. We crest the hill with 130 cattle following behind. My father steps on the brake. No, no, dang it! He points down the other side of the slope and gropes for the Winchester. I look. In a patch of red snow, three coyotes circle the sprawled bovine corpse. Off to the side, I can see the remains of a baby calf. My father unrolls his window. He peeks the Winchester out. He leans it on the mirror. I put my hands over my ears. Boom! Jacks a second shell into the chamber. Boom! One of the coyotes yelps and goes down. Boom! The other two are fleeing and snow is erupting behind them. We walk down to the bloody scene. She must have calved in the night. And then this knucklehead and his friend showed up. My father kicks the dead coyote. Hope that scared the other two away. He shakes his head. Coyotes. Coyotes. A brutal reality. The tooth and claw of the natural world. But one that echoes the brutal reality that St. Paul is only too familiar with. The tooth and claw of the human world. In our epistle reading this morning, St. Paul has just finished 12 chapters. 12 chapters chronicling the tangled realities of human sin and their universal scope. There is, writes St. Paul, none righteous. No, not even a single one. He laments the horror of humanity's chaos and violence within the cosmos. And according to St. Paul, a primal act of folly in our forefather Adam has left us with a compulsive fear of lack, a fear of death. And the result is a spiraling circle of self-serving, a circle that tears apart the boundaries of creation. We struggle against our mortality, devouring things and fighting with other people in our quest for eternal life. Christians throughout the centuries have called this inner compulsion, this inner craving to devour and to fight, original sin. And this original sin, this inner compulsion towards fearful self-serving, often explodes in public life. If you think about it, most crimes are a kind of variation on those two impulses. Devour something or someone, fight over what is being devoured or who is being devoured. Theft, murder, perjury, sexual assault. Each is a kind of devouring or competition. To put it in my father's Montana language, we're all about half coyote. We're all about half coyote. It's true. We love to run in packs. My pack, my party. Let's go fight with the other pack. Our tongues loll to the side as we see something or someone weaker struggling in the snowdrift. I'm going to feast on that body, on that flesh. I'm going to wolf down some more stuff. We love to acquire, to devour people and things. But then as we gnaw on the dead calf, we growl. That other coyote's getting more than me. We snap and we fight. We're all about half coyote. But the triune God does not leave us with ourselves. He does not leave us at the mercy of our devouring and competition in the public square. As we wrestle over the half-frozen carcass, he pulls up in his blue pickup. He rolls down the window. He pokes his gun out. Boom! He shoots. He works to deter our coyote instincts. He protects the innocent. In a strange act of grace, God appoints certain people to be what you could call the gun in society, to act as deterrence against our coyote tendencies. God puts in place rulers and magistrates, judges and police. St. Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant, the diakonos, the deacon of God, to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer." Now, sometimes we imagine how wonderful it would be if we could just get rid of the government, right? But the reality is that without governing authorities, life would be a literal hell, a swamp of self-serving, of circling coyotes, snapping and growling over the weak. We would look very much like Israel in the time of the judges, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. We would devour the widow, the orphan, and the poor. Blood would run through our teeth. We like to tell ourselves sometimes that we're not half coyote, but God knows better. God knows better. And so he protects us from ourselves and from others. He puts in place governments to keep in check the fact that we are about half coyote half the time. Again, we're not as bad as we could be, not saying that. But we all have tendencies. I remember one of my former parishioners, my other church, who was a U.S. Marshal. He used to, when he would take new trainees out in the field for the first time, and say, "Okay, we're going to run into some people, but I want you to know this. You are just the same as them, and you are only one or two bad decisions away from being exactly where they are. You're no better." God appoints people to uphold justice and goodness while also deterring injustice and cruelty. Now, having said all that, there is the reality, isn't there, that sometimes those appointed to keep the coyote instincts at bay, use the gun to promote coyote instincts. And we're all aware of that. Christians throughout the centuries have wrestled with How do you respond in that moment? And frankly, there's no easy answer. But there is one thing that the church has always held. God does not approve of Kaio actions, and God would have us be critical, not only of those who would use coyote actions in government, but to be especially critical of our own capacity for such actions. God does not leave us at the mercy of the tooth and claw of human nature. And this is why we pray each Sunday. You'll notice in our prayers for the whole state of Christ's church, we beseech thee also so to direct and dispose the hearts of all Christian rulers that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. We're all about half coyote sometimes, and yet the triune God is gracious. He appoints rulers to deter us from our self-serving, to kick up a little snow behind us, to keep us from hurting others. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.